Praise the Lord. We give glory and honor for the opportunity to come together here at this branch of Zion, Shiloh Baptist Church, New Site, for the purpose of lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. We do understand that we're in the area of where there is a crisis whereby we are to be an establishment whereby we look out for the welfare and health of our membership. I understand that the spread of this virus that we have among us has caused fear and anxiety. However, Scripture is clear that God has given us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind, and not fear. So we have been monitoring the updates of the COVID-19 virus. We are aware that the possibility of infection is not just a matter of chance. The medical profession is in agreement that it will impact Virginia and possibly our church environment. It is believed that the virus is primarily spread through close contact and respiratory droplets. Therefore, we have taken the precautionary measure of suspending our gathering of worship here at this branch of Zion. We are aware that the church is not the building. The church is in the midst of us, so that the building is closed, but God's church still reigns and moves within this area. So with that in mind, we're going to worship God in spirit as well as in truth. We're going to ask Minister Bernardine Parrish if she will come, give us a scripture, lead us in prayer, and we'll continue on in our fellowship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture for this morning will be coming from 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter. And this is with the King James Version, beginning with verse 1. 2 Chronicles, 7th chapter. And the word of God reads, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.' Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also with the instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endured forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hollered the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, mm-hmm. from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. Amen. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly. For they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Mm-hmm. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice.
Well,
if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves mm-hmm. and pray
yes.
and seek my face and mm-hmm. turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven mm-hmm. and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
All right.
Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Mm-hmm. Thus ended the reading of God's holy word. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, our Father
yes,
and our
Lord.
God, mm-hmm. it is in Jesus' name, Father God, once again, we find ourselves in this house of worship.
Yes.
Before your holy presence. And for this, oh God, we want to say thank you.
My Lord.
We thank you, oh God, just for one more day, for allowing us to rise up early this morning and to seek your face, oh God.
Well.
For you are our God, and it's unto you, oh God, we look to each and every day. We bless you, we honor you, we give you the glory, mm-hmm. oh God, for you are a mighty God.
Yes.
So, Heavenly Father, as we go forth today in worship, we ask, O God, that your anointing be upon each and every one of us, whether we find ourselves here in this house of worship, in our homes, or abroad. O God, we just ask right now that you would just magnify yourself in our hearts and in our lives. Keep us, and we shall be kept. Creating us a clean heart, renewing us a right spirit, O God, that we may be found worthy to be called your sons and daughters.
Yes.
That we may do those things that you have purposed in our hearts to come to pass. We pray, Father God, for those, Heavenly Father, this household of faith that are under the weather, that are sick and shut in. Those, O God, that have a desire to come out, Heavenly Father, but yet, O God, you know their hearts. So, Father God, we ask that you would just continue to meet us at our needs, keep us and strengthen us to do only those things that you would have us to do. We pray, oh God, for this coronavirus, Heavenly Father, that is sweeping the lands far and near throughout the countries, oh God.
We
ask, oh God, that you would just take complete control. We know that you are in control of all things and we will not grow weary. But yet, oh God, we know what we are confronted with. So, Father God, we ask that you would just have mercy upon us. This day we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We bless God and we thank Minister Parrish for leading us with our scripture and with our prayer. In keeping with our fellowship, we dare not forget about the opportunity for Sunday school worship. And for those who are Sunday school clarions, we would like to share with you from today's lesson, which is entitled Consequences for Injustice. The Bible scripture for the lesson comes from Habakkuk, the second chapter, verses 6 through 14. We will read those scriptures for you and we'll give a brief synopsis from the background, and we'll trust God that you're going to take your Sunday school book, read your lesson, study, and be able to be blessed by the Word of God. Consequences for injustice. Habakkuk, the second chapter, beginning with verse number 6. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increases that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Read for your hearing from Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 6 through and including verse number 14. A Sunday school lesson background reads, in the age of goal-setting seminars and vision boards, Christians and non-Christians alike have likely heard some paraphrase of Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. While many reference this scripture as part of conversations around the importance of writing down one's goals and dreams, in context, these words serve as a much more pointed rebuttal to the prophet Habakkuk's charges toward God on behalf of the people. The book of Habakkuk reads as both a prophecy and a heated conversation between God and the prophet. Habakkuk begins the conversation with a complaint against God. For the prophet, God seemingly cannot or will not hear his people's cries for help and refuses to save them from the violence, wrongdoing, and injustice in their land. God answers Habakkuk's complaint by promising to do something unthinkable, rising up the ruthless and lawless Babylonians to execute God's judgment. In response, the prophet first affirms the holiness and wisdom of God, but questions why God continues to tolerate the wickedness and injustice that the people of God faced in Jerusalem. The prophet questions the silence of God while the righteous seem to be swallowed up, and compares God's people to a sea of fish being hooked, tangled, and caught with ease by their foes, whom he compares to fishermen who worship their nets and hooks. At the end of this second complaint, Habakkuk steps back and declares that he will wait to hear what answer God desires him to give to the believers. It is out of this context that God responds with, write the vision, make it plain, as a way of instructing Habakkuk to ensure that everyone is able to hear the response from the Lord, a piece of which is examined in this text for this lesson. We read as a background to instill our hearts to come together and study through our Sunday school literature. We give God the glory. As we prepare for the message, I'm inclined to remind us that during this time of crisis that we follow the basic measures that were listed in the CDC documents. It said avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you are sick. That's not just worship service, but your job, your grocery store, and everywhere. Stay home if you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze with your arm or with a tissue. Wash your hands. Do it often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. These are some of the primary things that we should be practicing until this virus situation has passed us by. Our message for today comes from Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. We'll read for your hearing verses 1 through 6. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning with verse number 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 6. May God continue to bless us through his holy word. For a subject, we would like to use our struggles. Our struggles. That they might be brought to be more faithfully in observing all the commandments which had been charged upon them, so as to go on and prosper, they are called to remember the experiences of the 40 years in the wilderness when God guided them and disciplined them for their good. God humbled them that he might test the state of their hearts and affections toward him by using the distress and hardships to which they were subjected as a means of bringing out what was in them and of leading them to feel their entire dependence on him for help, sustenance, and guidance. God proves us not only by commands difficult to be obeyed laid on mankind, but by mighty works done in their view, but also by afflictions and calamities as well as by benefits. But because of their stubborn disobedience and lack of faith, in our text, God calls the original generation of Israelites, except for Joshua and Caleb, to pass away in the wilderness. You see, the new generation needed to hear the law again, so Moses restates it in the book, this book of the Bible. Moses understood that mankind had short memories and that it was important that they know God's word afresh as they were about to face new challenges and new enemies. You see, God has a method for the struggles he sends our way. The nature of these struggles are such that you will undoubtedly recognize the hand of God in the midst of it. Have you ever come through a traumatic encounter knowing that you should not have made it, but you did? It wasn't that long before you realized that it was the hand of the Lord. Notice how he treated his chosen folks. You see, in our text, we see it says, it was the Lord our God who led them all the way through 40 years in the wilderness. Now, notice that Bible scholars believe that the number 40 always associate with a period of probation, trial, and chastisement. As you know, Moses spent 40 years of probation waiting in the courts of Pharaoh. He was waiting in Midian, tending his father-in-law's sheep. He was even on Mount Sinai for 40 days getting the law. And in our text, 40 years in the wilderness struggle. These 40 years shows us the patience of God. You see, Psalm 90:4 says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past and as a watch in the night. We should be glad that God is patient with us. In our text, you see, he suffered thee to hunger, and God could have easily prevented this, but he suffered it to be so. So God allows us to experience need and discomfort. And before we ask the question why, allow me to tell you so that we will have need and cause to call upon him. Paul, after asking God 3 times to remove this thorn in the flesh, was told that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, we often say that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, but my text says that the Lord your God led them. This allows me to know that it was the Lord who led them these 40 years. You see, you may not like the direction that you are headed, but the good news is that he does not forsake those whom he redeemed. You see, it is reassuring to know that the author of our struggles continues to bless us while we are going through. It may appear that God has forgotten about us. We may even be tempted to believe that God is not aware of our difficulties. But God sees and blesses his children even in the midst of their particular suffering and testing. The wanderers in our text were in the wilderness as a result of their lack of faith. But while there, his blessings continued to flow. He fed them with manna. Whenever God permits you to hunger, You can be sure that it is so that his mercy may be observed as he provides us with the necessities of life. 40 years of wear and tear, and God blessed them with clothing that did not wear out. The clothing grew not old upon thee. One preacher said that clothes suggest the outward appearance of our daily lives, and every blood-bought child of God is adorned in the robe of God's righteousness, which never gets worse for the wear while on this journey. God kept their feet also with shoes and sandals. And according to Psalm 121 and 8, the Lord shall preserve your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Look again at our text. In there you'll find that the Lord thy God led thee. He was with them at the Red Sea. He was with them in every battle. Jesus said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. God blessed them with food that would not run out, clothes and shoes that would not wear out, and he never left them. You see, God has a purpose for our struggles. God often chooses to grow, to strengthen, and prepare us through struggle. But sometimes he has to work on our character. Look at how he worked with Israel. Their struggle was to humble thee. You see, Israel's problem was pride and doubting God. And God had to humble them. 40 years of humbling, while all of that generation, one by one by one, continued to die. That's what the Lord requires of his people, to walk humbly with their God, that they might love mercy and do justly. How long did it take for God to humble us? God delights to dwell in the contrite and humble heart of the believer. And the purpose of our struggles is that we might be humbled. It places us in a better position to enjoy the blessings that follows. God told Israel, their trial was to prove thee, to know what was in their heart. See, I like what Pastor Vincent Oliver said, that the gold of every fiery furnace, the lesson of every den of hungry lions, or every Philippian jail cell, is to reveal the inner character of his child. Remember the Lord's words to Abraham after his struggle in Genesis. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Taking the life of Abraham's son, only son Isaac, was not the goal of God's trial, but it was to prove Abraham's love and obedience to God. God wants to know what's in your heart, and does it belong to him? So he sends trials and struggles our way. God's struggle serves to teach us. God fed them with manna, but their true survival depended on them delighting themselves in the words of the law. What manna was to the children of Israel, the word of God should be to every disciple of the Lord today. John's gospel tells us that one day the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. We have those who suffer at the hands of some supposed church members who imagine they are appointed by God to make war on the saints. They experience what seems to be outright war. Others suffer physically, and you wonder if the trials will ever stop. We question God, asking why it is necessary to live with chronic pain, or why we must contend with devastating limitations. Others have experienced wounds to the heart inflicted by those we love. Those wounds are deep, so deep that no eye could ever see the raw, gaping gash made upon their hearts. Sometimes we wonder if we can even breathe. The pain is so severe. Paul reminds us that his present existence is but a waiting room to eternity. You see, for the one who has never received Christ as Savior, there is no promise of comfort, no possibility of life, only eternal separation from God and from all that is good. You see, God extends life to you also, only if you will receive him through his Son, Jesus the Christ, the one who died because of our sin. He took upon himself the punishment that we deserve. He tasted death for you as well as for me. Yet he broke the bonds of death, rising from the tomb. He was seen by those to whom he revealed himself before he ascended into heaven, where he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. Now the offer of life is extended to us, as God said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart one believes and thus has righteousness, and with the mouth one confess and has salvation. Even the prophet Joel said that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe on the one who not only dwelt among us, but the record shows that there was a greater struggle that he had that started way back in the Garden of Eden, a struggle that continued down to 40 and two generations. One came through a little town of Nazareth, through a night in Bethlehem, down to Egypt for a spell. He struggled through a blue-collar workman's home, struggled with the abandonment of his family, no normal childhood, but yet his struggle was not for him, it was for us. His struggle on the path to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey through the whipping block of the soldiers, gaining the bloody strips on his back, his journey through a kangaroo court up on a hill called Calvary, where he paused to allow the soldiers to drive nails through his hands and spikes through his feet. The time of transition, as he was taken from that old cross and placed in a borrowed tomb. It was on a Friday, but we praise God that Sunday did come. And as a result of Sunday, got up with all power in his hand, letting each of us know that he did it for us, that we might have a right to the tree of life once again. We will have struggles. Struggles will continue, but know that no greater struggle was through Jesus Christ, who made it all possible for us to be reconciled once again with the Father in heaven. It's open to all of us, to every one of us, whomever you are and wherever you are. Just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. realize that you're not here in the physical house of worship, but wherever you are in a religious or gospel atmosphere. So just accept him as Savior and Lord at this hour. For through that, thou shalt be saved. May God bless you. May he keep you. We realize that we are in a podcast situation, but the church of God still reigns, still open, and still blessing. You have a blessed evening and a blessed day, and we'll see you on our next broadcast. May God bless you.